If yesterday we opened by thinking about the criticalness of Talmud Torah, that it's not only a luxury and potentially a great joy, and potentially a great source of pleasure, but something that's it's our water and milk as well as our wine, it's something that's absolutely a necessary part of our spiritual nutrition. If that's what we spoke about yesterday in terms of that aspect of the Torah Chaim equation. Kihim Chayim Rechaveinu, Motzai Matzah Chaim means, as he pointed out, not only that's universal no matter what profession you choose, it's universal no matter what your concentration in high school or major in college or your field in graduate school, but also that it's something that you need, hopefully you want, and regardless you need. That was the focus yesterday. Now he moves on to another aspect of the Torah Chaim equation. The bottom of the first page, bottom of page Chaf Gimel, although it's not marked Chaf Gimel. He had mentioned that Rashi in this week's Parsha, Rashi in Revi, Yisro, call us Kalos Kashas. You're getting started with something, it's going to be rough, and you have to expect that. And knowing in advance that one principle of life is that when you start new things, when you're making adjustments, there's going to be a more difficult adjustment period, and it doesn't stay as hard as it is forever. Just because the first few weeks of El Zman are rough doesn't mean that you should assume that for the rest of the year it will be just as rough. And just because your first week on the job is really challenging, and the first month you live in a new neighborhood is very complex, it doesn't mean they will forever have to be that way. Kol Yisrael is kashus. Something true in terms of Klal Yisrael. Rashi talking in terms of Klal Yisrael's entry into a bris with HaKadosh Baruch. The Chol HaSchol is cautious near the bottom of the first page. HaKenisa Ol HaTorah, He Kenisa Me'olam Gashmi, V'soch Olam Ruchani. To enter the world of yeshiva, or to increasingly enter the world of yeshiva, which you did many years ago, and you did this past fall, and you'll do again in the future, it's an ongoing spiral, I would say, entering, to enter the world of yeshiva is a process of moving from a materialistically focused reality to a spiritually focused reality. To move from Olam Gashmi to Olam Ruchni. It doesn't mean you're leaving the physical world. It means that you're focusing less on materialistic pursuits. It's a change in my whole paradigm. It's not just when I'm learning, oh, I'm now going to be learning more hours. It's a change of mindset. And that's a cause cautious. It's a change mindset to focus more on that which is truly valuable. The Rama talks about, you know, the only thing that's truly permanent, the only thing that's only la'ad la'omer laman, is the diyas tzur ha'olam, is the awareness of the understanding of Ribbono Shel Olam, the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, intellectually, emotionally. Ha'olam ha'gashmi hu olam ha'dimyonos. A materialistically focused reality, a materialistically focused experience, is all about imagination. That sense itself, if we even talk about Torah, which we'll get to in a moment, is worth just savoring that one sentence. HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects us to live in the material world. That's why He created us in a material world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects us to discuss in the past that concept of Simchas Hasharim. We are not ascetics. HaKadosh Baruch Hu there's no value in being a monk, as Rambam and many others write about. But the question is whether the material world and its pleasures and its opportunities are things that I see as tools and opportunities to get to something more valuable, or are they an ends in and of themselves? And if I'm living a hedonistic lifestyle, or I should say, instead of making it binary, to the extent that I'm leading a hedonistic lifestyle, meaning to the extent that material world is the point of life and the goal of life, and the goal is to have more toys, whoever dies the most toys wins, And to the extent that I'm in that mindset, to the extent that I'm living hedonistically, so that's how Olahan Divyonos points out. That's something worth considering. That to be hedonistic is to live in the world of imagination. I mean, it's always the grass is greener on the other side, and it's so much about imagined goals as opposed to reality. And when people do, when physical pleasure becomes the goal of one's life, as opposed to something to be enjoyed and a way to get to something more valuable, when physical pleasure is the goal of one's life, ironically, you tend to spend an awful lot, inordinate amounts of time dreaming about what you could have that you don't have. And you think about that Mishnah of Ezeu Asher Asameach B'chelko, right? To be truly wealthy is to enjoy what you have. All those Mishnayos, the whole series of Mishnayos, the Ezeus, they're all very counterintuitive, if you think about them. We usually think of our stereotype of a very powerful person is typically someone with very little self-control. The guy's a brute, the guy's a jock, and he doesn't have to follow anyone's rules, he just does whatever he wants and takes advantage of other people for his own pleasure and so on and so forth. Right? The Mishnah says, in fact, the truly powerful person is a person who has enormous amounts of, who controls himself more than he controls anyone else. Ezeu Ashir and Ezeu Chacham, usually our stereotype of the smart person is the guy such intellectual arrogance that what he doesn't need anyone else. He's so sweet. He's smarter than everyone else. Often we think that if I'm learning from other people, that means that's a ride I'm not so smart. I better make it seem like I know everything and no one has anything to teach me. When in fact, Ezeu Chacham Alon Mikalav. So here too, Ezeu Ashir Asameach B'chelko, because typically the stereotype of Ashirus, the way most people think of Osher, is you're always chasing more. And ironically, in a life built around pleasure, you end up with often, not always, but often, remarkably little. Because it's always tinged by what I don't have. So I, you know, now that I got to go to vacation to X, but my friend's going to Y. There's always someone who has more, and there's always someone who has less. So it's a question of where you choose to focus. As you mature, part of maturing is to take advantage of recognize you can make that choice instead of just going the flow. You can choose to always focus on the people who have more than you. You can choose to always focus on people who have less than you. In any realm of life, there will be people who have more, people who have less. And you get to choose how you want to. Do you want to have a life of happiness? Do you want to have a life of misery? That's what Mishnah says. Is that all shares in the happen? To be truly wealthy, to be wealthy is to have lots of, not just to have lots of, to enjoy lots of stuff. You'll enjoy your stuff much more. You'll have much more net enjoyment if you focus on what you have instead of focusing on what you don't yet have. It's a funny thing. You may end up with more stuff if you're always focusing on what you don't have. But you'll end up enjoying your stuff more if you focus on what you have. What's the nusach? The bumper sticker version, I think, is if you want to have what you want, you have to want what you have. That's part of the tifkad of that Mishnah. That's what he's saying. Ha'om ha'gashmi, that's his one sentence. Ha'om ha'gashmi, ha'om dimyonos. Ha'om ha'gashmi, he's not living in the physical world. We all live in the physical world, and we should. That's why God put us here. That's why God created the physical world. He wants us to engage the physical world in a remarkable way. But to live a life where Gashmius is not just living in the material world, but to be materialistic. I mean, to be a person who's pursuing and chasing that. And my goals in life are built around material success, rather than material success being something I want in order to accomplish some of that. So that I'm living in a world of imagination. Imagination is fun and important, but it's going to take two larger parts, two central a role. Kadosh Baruch Hu created us with a koach adim, with the power to have imagination, we are supposed to dream, absolutely. But if it's becoming too central in a life which is hedonistic and materialistic. Habolo motora, so that's generally true, worth thinking about. And then he talks about specifically in terms of Jew trying to transition into being more of a Torah-centered person. Habolo motora motzeis atzmo melchama neged dimyonosav amarfim asol esamek binyanim silchim. A person wants to throw himself into learning. Person wants to reach a stage where he can sit in a base medrash and focus his mind on limud Torah and ideas of Torah for an extended period of time, for a series of hours, So one of the greatest obstacles is distraction. And not just external distraction, but you have no external, I'm in an empty base medrash. I left my phone outside. No external distractions. But still, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem blessed me with a fine mind. And part of my fine mind is Baruch Hashem. Not sarcastic. Baruch Hashem, I have a great imagination. But it can either help me or it can get my way. So to try to say I want to focus on the sugya for the next 2 hours of the chavrusa. I want to focus on the sugya for the next 3-4 hours of the chavrusa. One of the most significant obstacles is, did you notice that just fleeting imagination, that prevent me from sinking deeply into the life of the mind. To allow myself to just sink into engaging the sugya, working through a rasha. So that's one of the great challenges. In case you thought you were embarrassed because you thought you're the only guy who's dreaming about everything but the block Gemara when you're trying to learn, guess what? A mashgiach who has decades of experience with probably tens of thousands of Bachuri Yeshiva like you said, everyone grapples with it. Everyone who attempts to learn seriously is gonna have to grapple with distraction. Vizuhi has snatchers haritzinus biyoser ben emes vashaker v'ashavada. If you see it typologically, it assumes that this is the most serious conflict between emes and sheker within a person. Dafke v'pasos ha-gemara kama dimyonos tokmosa. It's dafka when I was walking to the base marriage, I was fine. The moment I opened the Gemara, I went to the Chavrusa, all of a sudden, you know, like I remember 10 things I need to do, I remember 20 things I was dreaming about, and I have 30 daydreams, all, right? You know how it is, right? When you're about to get something done, boom, that's exactly when the Yetzirah comes knocking. Zichronos ha'avar, dagos ha'asid, kapesis, suchri ha'ova, right? Memories of the past, concerns, worries about the future, things that I'm upset about right now, and the issues, complexities right now, everything. And it doesn't mean that they're insubstantial, that they might be silly, petty things, or they might be substantive things. But I do have to be concerned about. But the question is, can I compartmentalize? I'll think about some things now, I'll think about some things later. It strikes us that, of course, that's what we ought to do, and it's easier said than done. So in case I'm saying, yeah, I ought to do it, but there's no way I can do that. Like, I'm so embarrassed. Guess what? Everyone grapples with it. Kosha has rasgos, any makor b'choser, choser kisharon. And it's another important point. Just because you're having difficulty remaining focused on the sugya does not necessarily mean that you lack a certain skill. That there are attention deficit disorders, but not every time that person is inattentive is it a neurological issue. Everyone deals with almost everyone struggles to maintain to hold focus for long periods of time. It's not necessarily a choser kisharon. It's not necessarily a lack of capability. And even when there isn't a neurological, a real diagnosable attention deficit disorder, it still doesn't mean there's a lack of capability. Often people who grapple with ADD are incredibly talented, but the ADD is getting in the way of them expressing their talents. And certainly, in terms of where it's not diagnosable, just I'm like 99% of the population, and I'm going to have difficulty focusing for as long as I would like. It doesn't mean I'm not capable. It doesn't mean I can't do this. I'm just not cut out for it. B'shlitas dimyonoso shaladolav. It has to do with grappling with my koach adinyon. Does my imaginative faculty work for me, or is it in charge and I'm working for it? Uve mihirushim atzlichim l'saleik. And the quicker one can succeed at managing distraction, the quicker I will be able to more fully enter the world of the serious Limud Torah. And he goes on to say that it's, maybe we'll pick up with this. And this sort of ties together, we're going to pick up this next time. In the next paragraph, he ties together yesterday's idea and today's idea. That It's through being able to step beyond my imaginations that I am able to tap into the sweetness and the beauty of learning. The pleasure of learning gets unlocked as I am able to step beyond constant distraction, and as I'm able to, as I train myself to focus for extended periods of time, that's when I unlock the greater sweetness than the passing sweetness of imagination. Is the sweetness of deep intellectual engagement with Talmud Torah, which relates to what we talked about yesterday. And sometimes it's, although many of us have had the experience that a pop, a spark of sweetness of Torah is what may have been the catalyst to get started, but that flash of tshuka is not nearly as great as a substantial sweetness of learning that comes after you're already working hard. And that's a far deeper and far sweeter and far more substantial sweetness. This is here too. So coming in from another angle, part of that ma'avar, part of that transition into working hard is going to be recognized, and I have to figure out it's normal that I'm distracted, and it's normal it's hard to maintain focus. And instead of just feeling bad about it and ignoring it or just whatevering it, well, I have to recognize this is hard for me, it's hard for the versa. Let's work on this together. Let's work together to try to grow day by day, to grow week by week. Let's see if we can make this week better than last week. Not night and day, but gradually better. Let's see if today can be a little better than yesterday. Let's see if today is Tuesday, if it can be better than last Tuesday. It can be better than a month ago Tuesday. And over time, and as you do that, you unlock cause-cause kashas, he points out. Cause-cause kashas. It's going to be harder at the beginning. There'll be other types of challenges later on. But there's a unique hardness to really getting started and really diving in. Anyone who has ever gone into a 82-degree pool or a 78-degree pool knows that. When you stick your toe in, it feels sort of chilly. Right? And one mahalaka is to put in one toe, and then to put in a second toe, and then to put in a third toe, and it's a long and painful process. Right? If you dive in, it's hard to dive in, so you have someone count down for you, and when he hits the end of the countdown, you jump in. Right? So at the beginning, it's really hard, but then, pretty quickly, you adapt, and it's great. Now, there may be other types of hardness in terms of, you want to swim laps, you want to maintain endurance and speed and so on and so forth, you want to win it. And Marco Polo, whatever you do in the pool, there'll be other challenges later on. But there's an initial challenge of just getting into the pool, and it can seem overwhelming. The pool's so cold. And once you're in the pool, once you've adapted, that's beyond you. Now you're ready to actually do the stuff the pool is meant for. That's called cautious. Once you're in, so then the actual work of what the pool, the Yama Talmud, is meant for. It has its own challenges. But there's a certain unique challenge of jumping in, a challenge of getting started and actually recognizing this is what I need to do, and so far simcha lavo, recognizing that I'm going to need to build my focus and build those muscles, and then the real stuff will begin. There's a lot more to say. We'll stop here for now. Tomorrow, Hashem, we'll see how he puts ideas together, and then going forward, as we talk about some practical points about chavrusas. Okay, a lot going on.